And I want to know if it pays the same. She said, no, it don't. Crank it up. So bless God Almighty, we're going to go with what she says. Amen. Amen. Sure, it's good to be here tonight. It's good to be here. Amen. Thank the Lord for what He's doing here this week in this meeting. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for my kids. They're planning on coming up Friday. And I think I've only got one deacon, thank God. He's a good one, too. I might have three or four like him. And I think he wants to ride up with them. So pray for them. It's about a 5 or 6 hour drive to come up and be with us. So they're going to come up Friday and be with us. And hopefully, if we've got time, maybe let them sing one or two. They sure are a blessing. I love my family and thank God for them. Appreciate Brother Danny bringing his folks over. Just met him a few minutes ago. I already like his spirit. And I like these kids. You know how many young people we've had sing this week? And I like their spirit. And I like their attitude. And the thing that stood out to me tonight about these kids, they sang well. I like the fact they sing good. I never did like to hear somebody get up and say, we're not no great singers. Then they start singing and prove it. I believe you ought to do the best you can is what I'm saying. And I appreciate people that can do a pretty good job. I'm not that great a singer. I just hang on. I don't really try to make a mess of it. But what I liked about their singing was they was enjoying it. Yeah. They were smiling, man. I sat there thinking, them kids are a blessing. I hate to see young people in a youth choir get up to sing, and they all look like they got stomach ulcers. Don't you?
Yes.
And you know they're up there and somebody's threatening them. Amen. I tell you what I want to do tonight. I was going to preach one thing, but God's changed my mind. I'm going to preach something else. I believe God wants to do something here, people. Don't let it pass by. Lord, help. Listen, young people, old people, don't let what God's doing pass you by. Don't let this opportunity slip by you. And I want to preach on a very, very familiar subject tonight that I believe will help you, and it affects every single Christian in this place, and it is on the subject of discouragement. You say, preacher, that's not a revival sermon. It just so happens that one of the dearest friends I have is just today. One of the best preacher friends I have. We're just like this. One of the best friends I told Brother Jeff about at supper this evening. He is discouraged. He is down and out. And that's unusual for him. I said, do you need me to call him? She said, that would be great. So I called him. And brother, you talk about a young man that's discouraged. Here's a young man that's got a good church. And he's this close to falling in the towel. He's almost ready to quit pastoring. He might even be almost ready just to quit preaching altogether because of discouragement. And the bad thing about it is, brother and sister, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. Listen, I'm in a church right now. Everything's going fine. But I ain't stupid. I know it's coming, brother. I know my day's coming. I know one of these days it's going to hit. I know all hell's going to break loose. I know the devil's going to unleash on me. I know I'm going to have trouble. I know it's coming. I'm not a fool. I've been in it long enough to know that trouble is around the corner.
Yes, sir.
Discouragement is like stress. You can't avoid it. You just have to learn how to deal with it when it comes. And that's what I'm going to preach about tonight. I believe it will help you. Matthew chapter 11. Read with me, Matthew 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The deaf are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out to see in the wilderness? To see a reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for? To see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for? To see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom that is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily, I say unto thee, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Discouragement. Discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust of the future. It is ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifference to the opportunities of today, and insecurity regarding the strength for tomorrow. Many great men have been discouraged. Moses got discouraged. David got discouraged. Elijah got discouraged. Jeremiah got discouraged. Jonah got discouraged. Peter got discouraged. Every great man of God that's ever lived got discouraged. Many of them got suicidal. Many of them wanted to quit. Jeremiah thrown it down and said, I ain't going to preach anymore. He said, I want to go out and live in the wilderness. I want to get away from God's people. I don't want to hear about church. I don't want to hear about Sunday school. I don't want nothing to do with none of it. I want to tell you, brother, you're going to get discouraged, and you need to know how God wants you to deal with it.
Yeah. Preach on, preacher.
Speaking of pastors, let me give you a few statistics tonight. It's Wednesday night. I'm going to take my time. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry each month due to moral failure, spiritual burnout, or contention in their churches. 4,000 new churches starting year, but over 7,000 close. 50% of pastors' marriages will end in divorce. 80% of pastors and 84% of their spouses feel unqualified during discouraged in their role as pastors. 50% of pastors are so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could, but they have no other way of making a living. I have a preacher friend up the road in North Carolina told me about 2 years ago. He said, Brother Ronnie, I'm already trying to figure out another way to make a living. This is a man that pastors a church running 400 people. A big church, brother, making plenty of money and preaching all over this country. He was so discouraged and got so much trouble in his church. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I've pastored a church since I was a teenager. I don't know what else to do with my life. I want to tell you something, brother. Discouragement is a terrible, terrible thing. I'd rather have a broke leg than to be discouraged this way. But, brother, I want to tell you under God, it's coming. You better brace yourself and be ready. These people act like you're on cloud nine all the time and you never get down. They're a bunch of stinking liars because you are going to get down and you're going to get discouraged. 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates who enter the ministry leave the ministry within the first 5 years. 85% of pastors said their greatest problem is that they're sick and tired of dealing with problem people. Amen to that. Leave your preacher alone for God's sake. Let him live. 75% of pastors feel grossly underpaid. Amen to that too. If you figure up the time a preacher puts in and you figure up his pay, most preachers only make minimum wage. I'll say amen for me and you both, brother.
Go ahead.
That's right. 90% said the ministry was completely different than what they thought it was before they entered the ministry. 70% felt God called them to pastoral ministry before they began. But after three years of ministry, only 50% still felt called. Did you hear that? 70% said, I feel God wants me to call a preacher to be a pastor. 50% felt that way 3 years later. God didn't call me to be no pastor. Amen. Pastor Baptist Church a few years. You'll change your calling, bless God. You think you want to be a missionary? Go to the mission field of a third world country for a few months. You might change your tune. 80% of pastors' spouses feel their spouses overworked. 80% of pastors' wives feel left out and unappreciated. 80% of pastors' spouses wish their spouse would choose another profession. Getting quiet. 80% of pastors' wives feel pressured to do things that the church wants them to do that they really rather wouldn't do. Let me just park right here a minute. I don't know how y'all are here. It's Wednesday night. It's church night. You know what the preacher's wife's job is in this church? Keep him happy. That's it. That's it. Hey, it ain't her job to teach and wipe snotty noses and wipe butts and change diapers in the nursery. That ain't her job. If she wants to, fine and dandy. If she don't, she don't have to. There ain't no scripture nowhere in the Word of God says she has to do nothing but keep him happy. Let's march around Jericho, brother. Have a preacher out there, brother. Listen, most churches, they think when they get a preacher, what can your wife do? Brother, she knew all kind of stuff. At home for me. Ain't none of your business. If she wants to teach, she can. If she don't, she won't. Hey, my wife can teach. She can teach mud and most preachers preach. But she just won't work a nursery. You say, well, I can't believe she'd be that way. She raised four kids. She's done wiping butts and noses.
Sure.
She's put in her time.
Yeah.
Now let me get into my message here. I done killed a meeting, brother.
You're all right.
What causes discouragement? Fatigue, frustration, failure, and fear, and all these other things. Now, listen, let's get into this just for a minute. I want to talk first of all about the place of discouragement. The place of discouragement. Look at verse number 2. You see a place of confinement. The Bible said John had heard in prison. John heard in prison. John was in prison. He was confined. Brother, a lot of times when you get discouraged, it's when you're in a place and it seems like there's no way out, and it seems like you're trapped. And it seems like there's nowhere to go. And it seems like there's nothing you can do. I try to tell that preacher today. I try to say, listen, brother, don't do anything. Just hang on. Just hold up. Don't do anything rash. Don't make a decision. Just wait till the smoke clears. Just wait till everything sweetens up. And brother, listen, he's in that place of confinement.
Yes, sir.
That'll get you discouraged, brother, when you're in that place. And it feels like your hands are tied. And you're in shackles and chains. And you can't move. Oh, I know that feeling. And that'll get you so discouraged. And you feel like you can't stand it. And you can't move. And you're not free and you're not loose. Now, John was a great man of God.
Yes.
He was so great, he was filled with the Holy Ghost before he was born. But he was in that place of confinement for a while.
Yeah.
He started getting a little discouraged.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Sometimes you're in that place of confinement. You're waiting on something and nothing. He was in a place of confinement. He was in a jail cell. Sometimes you get discouraged. Sometimes, Brother Jeff, you're sitting in that place of confinement and there's not a whole lot you can do. Wasn't anything John could do. But just sit there and wait. Just sit and wait. What can I do, preacher? Ain't nothing you can do. Ain't nothing much you can do. Listen, the church won't grow. I can't get anybody to go soul winning. Can't get anybody to run the bus. Can't get anybody to go on visitation. My people won't come faithful. My tithes are dropping off. People won't pay their tithes. People won't give their offering. What am I going to do? Sometime you're in a place of confinement and there ain't a blessed thing you can do.
You're right.
You get in that place of confinement, you'll get discouraged. While you're in that place of confinement, it's also a place of confusion. Look at verse 3. He said unto him, art thou he that should come? You stay in a place of confinement long enough,
it becomes
a place of confusion. You sit there long enough, you'll start questioning some things. Preacher, I've never questioned my salvation in any time. You sit in a jail long enough, you will. You sat there long enough. You sat in that place of confinement. You sat in that place of discouragement. You sat in that place where the Holy Spirit don't flood your soul. You sat in that place long enough. You'll wonder if you've ever been saved. You'll wonder if you've ever felt His presence before.
Right.
I felt God run up and down the avenues of my soul 10 million times. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. You sit in that dry, dusty desert for a while. You give it a month, and you give it 2 months, give it 3 months, and you'll begin to wonder. You'll think, did I imagine all that? Am I even saved? Do I even know what I'm doing? Do I even know God? Do I even believe the Bible? You'll start thinking all kinds of crazy things. You'll begin to be confused because you are in that place of confinement.
You're right, preacher.
Yep. You're in that place of discouragement. He said, are you he? Let me tell you this one time when I was, it was many years ago when our baby girl was just the only baby girl we got. She was just a baby. Candace, about 18 months old. We're from North Carolina up in the mountains and we're like Brother Jeff and y'all. We like to shout it out and we're used to these spiritual services, God moving. We went through a spiritual drought for months. We get a good meeting, brother and sister, and God begin to move and God begin to bless. I couldn't feel a thing. Only one in the place. People be shouting, I mean jumping pews and all that stuff, man. I mean good. I'm in a camp meeting where there's some real preaching going on and real singing. I'm sitting there thinking, well, it's just a fluke. It's just one of those things. And then the next week it happens again. Next week it happens again. I mean, we've even been up singing and it happened. I didn't feel nothing. And that goes on and goes on and goes on. Yep. Then you start praying. I start praying, Lord, if there's any sin in my life, God, whatever it is, Lord, I'm sorry. Take it out. God, cleanse me. Lord, if there be any wicked way in it, cleanse me, Lord. Put the spotlight of God's love on me. Put the searchlight on me. And nothing, brother, I couldn't pray. It got that way. It kept getting worse and worse. And it was dry. Nothing. Every time we went to church, every time I'd preach, it seemed like a drought. I couldn't feel the presence of God. God couldn't be found within a million miles. That's rough. I don't know how long it went on. One night we got down to pray. I called this preacher I knew and asked him to help us pray. And we got down to pray, and that verse over in Romans, it said, "The Spirit maketh intercession for us groanings which cannot be uttered." I couldn't utter. We got down to pray, and she was just kind of whispering, and I just prayed maybe 30 seconds. Something like, "Lord, help us. Lord, I don't know what else to pray. I don't know what to say. God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say." That was about it. I couldn't even cry. I mean, when you're burdened and you're heartbroken, at least you can cry. I couldn't even do that. Dry, man. Couldn't feel nothing. It felt like I was numb inside, like I was preaching last night. Just dry, nothing. Couldn't feel anything. Oh, brother, we was there down by the bed in our bedroom. That's the importance of praying with your family. Oh, brother, we was down there praying all of a sudden, just out of nowhere. There wasn't nobody singing "Just as I Am." There wasn't nobody singing "Amazing Grace" or playing "Amazing Grace" on bagpipes or nothing like that. Brother, that sweet heavenly dove blew through that place. Oh, brother, Holy Ghost moved through that room. Oh, brother, I tell you, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And God turned on the waterworks, brother. I began to cry. Oh, brother, I stood up and I began to shout. I thought, "I'm going to shout all night long. I ain't felt this in so long." Brother, listen, what are you saying, preacher? I tell you, I got that place of discouragement. And brother, when God finally did come back into my heart the way I want Him to, brother, I realized I'd been in a place of discouragement, and I was in a place of confinement and in a place of confusion. But while I was there, I began to question, "Lord, is all this just been hype?" Hey, amen. This university student printed on his t-shirt, he said, "Confused" on the back of the shirt, spelled with a K. Somebody said, "You're supposed to spell confused with a C." He said, "You don't know how confused I am." That's about how. Now listen to this. Here's that place of discouragement. It's a place of confinement and confusion. But then it's a place of conclusion. Look what he said in verse 3. He said, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" You'll start coming to some conclusions you shouldn't come to. You'll come to some conclusions that you shouldn't come to. You'll get in that place of discouragement. You'll be in a confined place, and you'll be confused, and you'll start making decisions you shouldn't make, just like that preacher's talking about today. I mean, start talking about resigning your church and doing crazy things you shouldn't be talking about doing. Start talking about uprooting your family and going down the road and finding you another church and that kind of crazy stuff. John the Baptist, brother, I'm talking about John the Baptist, the greatest preacher ever lived. Jesus said Himself, "It's sitting in a jail cell." And he said, "Are you the one that is to come, or should we start looking somewhere else?" That's dangerous talk right there, brother. That's dangerous. You'll start coming to some conclusions. Just wait. Wait on the Lord. It ain't easy. I ain't up here telling you it's easy. I ain't up here telling you it's fun. But if you'll do it, God will bless you for it.
Amen.
That place of confinement, place of confusion, and a place of conclusion. I've seen people come to some conclusions and come to some decisions based on the feelings and based on just based. And I've done it too. Don't listen. I've been in some places before. I've been so discouraged. I felt like the only logical thing to do is just bail out.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Every preacher that's ever preached, if you pastored any length of time, you've thought about quitting. And don't sit and tell me you hadn't, because I know you have. Jesus is the only one that hadn't thought about quitting.
Right.
Every preacher in the Bible's thought about bailing out. I can prove it. What's the point? You ever left your church preacher and went home on Sunday? What's the point? What's the point of even going back? They don't care. What's the point of me going back? Preaching my lungs out. I'm preaching myself to death for nothing. Running up and down the road, they won't even show up. Have a meeting, they won't even come. Try to win them to the Lord, and they don't even seem to care. Try to get their kids saved, it don't even matter. Try to have a meeting and try to have a baptizing and try to have Bible school and try to do all these other things, it don't seem to matter. Nobody even seems to care. The very ones that you're trying to help don't seem to matter. And so you just start coming to those conclusions, and that's a dangerous place to be. But you get that way from being in that place of discouragement.
You're right, preacher.
Number two, I'll talk about the product of discouragement. The product of discouragement, it produces doubt. Look at verse 3 again. Are thou he that should come? Are you even him? Are you even him? Go ask him if he's really the Messiah. John was the first one to recognize who Jesus was. John was the one that said, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He said, "I'm not even worthy to bow down and loosen his shoe latches." And he said, "Go ask him if he's even the one." I'm not even sure. We don't know the full conversation of everything that was said between him and his disciples. They might have come back and said, "There's Jesus. You know, he's preaching and God's using him and all these things." He might have said, "Well, go ask him if he's even the one." I ain't even sure now. John the Baptist said that. It produces doubt. He baptized him. He had a special relationship with Jesus Christ. It'll make you doubt some things. It'll make you doubt, and it'll make you pout, and it'll take you shout. Boy, I hate discouragement. Lord, it's an awful thing. I told my wife today, I hung up the phone talking to that brother. I said, "I hate that worse than anything, to see a preacher get that way, brother. Brother Jeff, that's a terrible, I've been there, I know how that feels." And it don't matter who you talk to. I don't try to give them little cliches, you know, like some preachers are, "Oh, just hang in there, brother, you'll be all right. Ride it out, brother," just blah, blah, blah. That don't help a man when he's been run over by a train. He's laying there bleeding, that ain't going to help him. Best thing to do is just tell him you love him. "I'm praying for you, brother. Just hang on, it'll get better." Just try to let him know you love him. Don't try to say stuff like, "Well, when life gives you lemon, just make lemonade." Just, you know, stupid junk like that. "Well, I've been there before," blah, blah. You know, we have been there before. But we need to try to be a blessing. It'll produce doubt. Not only that, here's a scary thing. Look at verse 3. It'll produce a detour. Or do we seek for another? Or is there somebody else we need to be looking at? I don't know if you had somebody else in mind or not. Emotions will make you do some dangerous things. Won't it? I'm discouraged. I'm feeling really low. Emotions and feelings. Emotions are what makes... Hey, did you know emotions are what makes girls, teenage girls, have babies? That's what causes it. That's what leads up to the act, you know? Thinking they're in love and all that stuff. Emotions. And when you get discouraged, it's an emotion. It's a feeling. It's a feeling of discouragement. You're confined and you're confused. And it produces doubt and it produces a detour. And you start thinking, "Well, maybe... maybe we ought to try something else." It's amazing. I've seen people get discouraged and do crazy stuff. You ever notice, Brother Jeff, when people get discouraged, they do the dumbest things. Just like John's talking about here. You ever notice when people get discouraged, the last thing they should do is the first thing they do. They quit church. I'm just going to stay home. I'm just going to stay home. That's like a man getting run over out here in the road. Ambulance pulls up. And he says, I'm just discouraged. Both my legs are broke and I'm bleeding. Just leave me alone, and when I get put back together, I'll call you."
Yeah.
That's exactly what that's like.
Yep.
That's how much sense that makes. When you're discouraged, what you need is the Lord. You need the church. You need some help. The last thing you need to do is quit and start looking somewhere else. Look at verse number 3. It produces doubt. It produces a detour. And it produces danger. Now, I want you to notice something here. I saw this and I'd never noticed it before. Or do we look for another? Do you notice what he said there? Do we look for another, Brother Jeff? Do we look for another? If Brother Jeff gets out, guess who else is getting out?
Yeah.
Her and her and him and her probably. Maybe. And him and him. All these rednecks are going down with him. Ain't that right, preacher? Ain't that right? The Bible said no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Brother Joe goes down, she goes down with him. That's exactly right, brother. I'm telling you, John was saying, "Do we look for another?" He wasn't saying, "Do I look for another?" He was saying, "Does me and these messengers I'm sending, I'm going to get out of the will of God and I'm going to start looking for another Messiah and I'm going to take these other guys with me." The few times I've thought about quitting, and there's been some times, listen, back years ago, it's been about 10, 11 years ago, I hit a burnout. I'd heard preachers talk about it, and I just thought they're sissies. I don't think that no more. I used to think I was Superman. I ain't even Batman now. I ain't even Robin. I pace myself now. I can't do it, everything. I know I can't. But I hit burnout. I really did. But I realized those times, Brother Jeff, first time in my ministry, I ever thought about quitting. I mean, I kept preaching, and I kept pastoring, and I kept going, but the zeal was gone. And I just did it because I knew I was supposed to, Brother Danny. I knew I needed to. I knew I was supposed to. And honestly, there was times that if it hadn't have been for her and that little girl looking up to me and them boys, Brother Jeff, I know I'd have quit. That scares me, Brother Jeff. I can't tell you how that scares me. I'm being honest with you. I'm not saying it sounds spiritual. You might not want to hear me preach no more. But I'm being honest. I got so discouraged and so down and so far gone. If it hadn't been for them looking up to me, I'd have thrown in a towel and said, I'm done. Count me out. Put my name in the paper. Run it in the sword of the Lord if you want to. I don't care. I'm done. And I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I had enough man in me. I'm glad I had just enough guts, just a little bit, just to stay in the fight and to stick with it and to hang in there because I didn't want, under God, I'd rather die at a young age and be stretched out in the casket than to have my kids walk up and say, my daddy used to be a preacher. I don't want my kids to say, my daddy used to stand for God. He don't do it no more. Thank God. I want my kids right now, they still to this day say, Daddy, you always stuck with the stuff, and we appreciate it. Amen. It produces danger. Listen, if you get discouraged, you better not go down. You might say, preacher, if I quit church, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. Hang on just a second. Look around you. Look around you. Look on the pew beside you. Look at that grandson, that granddaughter. Look at that boy and that girl, that young, that sister-in-law, brother-in-law. What about that woman that you've been witnessing down at Ingles Grocery Store or Bilo or those other places you've been trying to get to come to church? What are you going to do about them when they look at you and they say, I knew it was all fake and it wasn't real, and they die lost and go to hell? You're going to take somebody down with you. That's dangerous, brother. That kind of thinking is dangerous. The place of discouragement and the product of discouragement. And I'll say this. Here's the prescription for discouragement. The prescription for discouragement is in verse 4. Boy, I like this. I'm glad there's a prescription, Brother Jeff. I'm glad there's help.
Yeah.
Discouragement's a terrible thing.
Yes, it is, brother.
Let me tell you something. My daddy was a good old Baptist preacher for many years. He had a church turn on him one time, which they're likely to do. I never seen my daddy hurt so bad in my life. Daddy walked the floor at night. And he kind of talked to himself. But he's really praying. And he'd mumble. And he'd just walk through the house. He'd have a cup of coffee. I never seen him so downcast, Brother Joe. He was just downcast. That smile was gone. That sparkle. It took years for Daddy to ever get back right. To get that snap back in his life again. Yes, it was years before he ever got straightened back out. But I'm going to tell you what, there was a prescription for it. And I'll tell you what Daddy did. He stayed with the stuff, brother.
Amen.
He kept going. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 4. Here's the prescription. Verse 4 said, and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another verse 3? Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The prescription is this, a message from the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You'll hear from the Lord sooner or later.
Boy, that's good.
Sooner or later, you're going to hear from heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Sooner or later, God's going to send somebody by.
Yes.
Sooner or later, you're going to hear from God. Sooner or later, you're going to hear a message from God. God's going to speak to you. Jesus, they come up there and they said, Lord, John's down there in prison, and warriors are going to chop off his head, and Herodias' daughter dashed the jig, and they're going to kill John. He's awful down. He's awful low. We don't know what to do. He's awful discouraged. Jesus said, I got news for him. You go tell John everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
He said, you go tell John that I said, he's on the right track. He knew John. Knew John by name. He sent him a message. He said, you go tell John. He didn't say, you go tell what's his name. He said, you go tell Jeff. He said, you go tell Lydia. You go tell Miss Debbie. You go tell Joe. He knows you by name. He told Nathaniel. He said, I saw you when you was up under the tree yesterday. What a blessing.
Wow.
Wow. How'd you know I was up under that tree? He said, I saw you on that tree. Amen, brother. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I came out of that spell I was telling you about, I went through for so long. I mean, brother, I went through that burnout. Honestly, I'm not proud of it. I don't talk about it. God just put it on my heart to tell you that tonight. I went through that thing. You ask my wife sitting there. That thing lasted for 10 years, Brother Jed. 10 long years. I mean, I'd hit spots where I'd hit a spark and it'd just flame up and it'd go back out. And brother, I just try to hold on my faith and just trust God. Oh, but I'll tell you what, God sent me a message. God spoke to my heart and I heard from heaven again. I knew one of these days, sooner or later, God's going to speak again and I was going to hear from God. I knew one of these days that prayer bell is going to ring again. I knew one of these days, thank God, is going to ring down in my soul again. I knew one of these days I'm going to have to skip in my step. I knew one of these days I'd have to shout back again. Thank God the devil said you're down, but God said he ain't out. Hallelujah! I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Discouragement will about whoop you. A message from the Lord. Just about gone. You might be down, but you ain't out. I tell you, and I tell you, it's tough when you're preaching and your zeal is gone. And your joy is gone. And you still love the Lord, but it's just, I can't explain it. Can't explain it. That zip's gone. Oh, but when you get that message from the Lord, that's the prescription. All those years I went through that. Brother Jeff, I told Debbie, I said, I don't guess it's ever going to be like it was. I don't guess I'm ever going to feel that punch again like I used to. And God's sitting up on His throne and He's got His prescription pad out and He's writing my name down on it. Ronnie Wilcox, I think, oh brother, I want to tell you something. I told her one day, I said, I believe God will use me from time to time, but I don't think God's ever going to use me again like He once did. Oh, but thank God He was writing a prescription, brother, and He let me hear from you. Oh brother, I'm glad God, He'll let you hear from heaven every once in a while. And brother, when He does, thank God you ought to shout out and let God have the glory. Hallelujah! The shout tonight! Hallelujah. The prescription is a message from the Lord. Amen. Not only a message from the Lord, but I'm going get right on through this and I'll close. But the prescription is also the meaning of life. Down in verse 7 through 11, Jesus began to talk about John. He said, by the way, what do you people think he's going out to see? A sodomite? That's what them soft clothing in king's palace is what that was about. He said, what do you think? What do you expect to see? You went out and saw a man with a leather girdle and camel's hair, eating grasshoppers and honey, and preached the living hell out of you is what you found, and you didn't like it. He said, I'll tell you one thing, there ain't never been a greater preacher to ever live. There ain't never been a man open the womb of a woman, ever preached, been a greater man like John the Baptist. I tip my hat to him. Oh, brother, he went into a sermon about John the Baptist, and when he went, them guys went back. John said, what did he say? They said, well, he said the dead were raised. He said the sick were healed, and the poor was preached. He said, did he know who it was? He said, you know what he said? You're the man. He said, you're the man, John. Wow! Hallelujah! He said, you're the man! He said, there ain't nobody like you! Hallelujah, brother! I want to tell you what, that's the meaning of life tonight!
Yes.
That'll bring you out of discouragement. Hey, did he really say that? That's what he said. He said, you're the man. Jesus said, he never heard nobody preach like you preach. John said, really? And John laid his head on that chop block with a big old smile. And they chopped his head off.
Yep.
And he got a brand new one before his toes quit wiggling. Hallelujah. Well, glory. That's the prescription for discouragement tonight, folks. A message from the Lord and the meaning of life. And the last thing I'll say is memories that linger. The memories that linger. I don't have any scripture for this, but I believe as John sat there in that jail cell, and he could hear him out there sharpening that sword. I believe he sat there, and I believe he. I remember when the first time I saw him. I remember the day I met him. Amen. Son, if that don't bring you up out of it. When you get discouraged, you're in that place of confinement and place of confusion and place of conclusion and all those other things, and you can't get your way up, just roll back the curtain of memory and remember when you're an old long-haired pot-smoking, beer-drinking redneck and where God brought you from and how He pulled you up out of sin. When you're on your way to hell and deserve to go, and God came and scooped you up and saved your never-dying soul. Thank God those memories have put you back on the mountaintop. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I remember where I was at when God saved me. I remember what He's done for me since then. I ain't even worthy to be standing up here. I ain't worthy of nothing God's ever done for me. That's the prescription, brother. Those memories that linger. You think back over the years, Brother Jeff. Do you think about the church hurt and the problems you've had? But think back over the years, each time one of them got saved. Think about that. Think about every time one of mine got saved and my boys walked out in that cold river and I dunked them under. I baptized Candace down in the low country and dolphins going by. How about that for memories? Amen. How about the times we've gone places and camp meetings we was talking about a while ago and seen God move like nothing you've ever seen? I mean, brother, those memories. Hey, brother, if it goes belly up tomorrow and we never get to get another good meeting, if God never blesses again, if we all get our head chopped off next week, if they burn down our house and take everything we got, thank God all we can say is, God's been good. Thank God it's been worth it all. It's been worth it all. I said it's been worth it all. That'll pull you up out of discouragement. When you get discouraged, you think, here I sit. Here I sit in this confined place. And I don't deserve to be here. I don't know about you, but I get that way sometimes. I help myself. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I start thinking about where I could be. Brother Danny, I could be in hell. Or if I'm still alive, I'd probably be in rehab somewhere. I'm from up North Carolina, I'd probably be in Broughton up there somewhere. In and out of the dry out tank. Probably wouldn't have a tooth in my head. Probably wouldn't have no hair. Amen. I got a little bit. Thank you. But you know what I'm trying to say? You know what I'm trying to tell you? You could stay in that place of confinement, or you could think what God's done for you.
Amen.
There's a prescription. God will give it to you tonight. Let's all stand tonight with heads bowed. If somebody got us a song.